James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Get counted down. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read? The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey there. How's everybody doing today? Glad to have you along with us here. Just making a joke on the chat room with Mark Levine. I don't know if he gets it or not. Hey, welcome to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. So glad to have each and every one of you along with us today. Hope to have a good show for you. Coming up around 3:30, we got Raed Jarrar coming with us. Going to talk to us about those snappy little oil contracts. All the Westerners here are trying to get, extract all the money from the Iraqis, the American and British oil companies. Take all the money away from the Iraqis. That's the deal, and always was the deal in the Iraq War. Hey, glad to have all of you along with us today. Yes, indeed we are. We've got some interesting things to talk about. Want to thank the whole gang over to Head On Radio Network and Democrats.com, DemocraticUnderground.com, all the folks over at unreportednews.net, glad to have all of you along with us today, and some of our favorite websites. By the way, be sure and check out our new website, www.theguyjamesshow.com, and you can take a look at the new fresh look we have up there. Maybe you like it, maybe you don't, I don't know. I do. It's something different, and good to freshen things up now and then. Got some new links up there, some new audio put up today. And we'll have some new comments put up for you in the next day or so. Happy to have all of you along and checking out the new website. I see quite a few hits on it. Glad to see that. And thanks to Ben over at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Without Ben, well, you wouldn't be listening to me right now, that's for sure. So Ben and all the gang at HeadOnRadio.net, John Fox, Jeff Allen Wolf, Mark Levine, Dr. Bill, Joe Vecchio, Bob Kincaid, the whole group over there. We got a great lineup for you here in the Head On Radio Network, and the network is growing, solidly growing, and we're happy to report that to you. As we mentioned yesterday, some in total, liberal radio didn't do so well last year, but our network is growing, and we're very, very happy about that. And, of course, we're indebted to all of you, our important listeners. You are the ones that we're doing this for. You're why we do this. Believe me, it's not an easy task. I had a little conversation with Jeff Allen Wolf a little earlier today. It takes it out of you. Jeff does 3 hours a day. No interviews, no phone calls, 3 hours a day of him. Hey, I don't know how you do that. I'll tell you what, I'm certainly not up to doing 3 hours a day with no calls, no nothing in there. That's a tall order, and it's a lot of work. May not seem like it to some of you, but believe me, doing like Jeff does, sitting behind a mic 3 hours a day, that's a tall order. Really is a very, very tall order. So congratulations to Jeff for that. Where are we at here today? We're going to... we have the official Guy James Show puppies in the studio today. I hope they behave themselves. Didn't have the babysitter today to leave them home, so we brought them into the studio. And as long as they behave themselves, okay. But if not, well, if not, I I don't know what the answer is. We can put them out in the lobby, I guess. It's not that big of a lobby, but we could put them out there. Kind of an echo chamber, though. Little Yorkies. And you just don't know about Yorkies. Sometimes they behave, sometimes they don't. Very mischievous, little curious little animals, but very lovable nonetheless. I think I've told you the story before. I was born and raised on the farm. Very proud of that. Wouldn't change my upbringing for anything in the world, where I was raised and how I was raised. Wouldn't change a bit of it. And that's, you know, a lot of people that were born and raised on a farm, they seem to be somehow ashamed of the fact or embarrassed by that. It's a wonderful life. Absolutely a wonderful life. And I went to a very small school, and I always thought it was very interesting that when our basketball team, and I was a high school basketball player, when we go play some of the bigger schools, we'd get down into the third or fourth quarter, and they would, well, anytime during the game, they would sing the Farmer Nadell like they were going to embarrass us. And we'd proceed to whip their asses. and another thing, people have, I don't know why I'm talking about this, but people always had the opinion that the people out on the farm, you know, they would laugh and make fun and tell jokes like everybody was a little slow out on the farm. All I know is, out of 18 kids in my graduating class, yeah, that's right, 18, 13 girls and 5 boys, out of 18 kids in my graduating class in high school, and man, I'm talking about a long time ago, 12 of them went to college, and not a single one of them had to take any remedial classes or anything like that. So we were well prepared, and so there, everybody in your big city schools. My wife, on the other hand, went to a school that her graduating class was almost 700. My God, I can't even imagine that. Our entire school, all 12 grades, didn't have but close to 300 in it, all 12 grades. And her graduating class was nearly 700. My, oh, my, oh, my. Well, anyway, I digress. I don't know why I got started on that. Some of the big news today, of course, is about that little royal guy. What's his name? Bill or Harry? Harry, that's it, Prince Harry. He's going to be gone to Iraq, and they're thinking that he might be a highly prized subject for the folks over there, the insurgents or terrorists or whoever, to get a hold of. And so they're going to take extraordinary measures to make sure that he's safe and it doesn't get kidnapped or anything like that. But it's actually humorous, very humorous, to see the White House's take on all of this. The British are withdrawing 1,600 troops from Iraq. And the White House is saying that it's evidence of significant progress toward peace in the country, triggering a renewed political battle with U.S. Democrats, who said the British move signaled the unraveling of President George W. Bush's coalition of the willing. I love that one. They went on to say, I think the British believe that in southern Iraq, the Basra region, where they've been most active, that we've made significant progress, said Vice President Dick Cheney. Ah, yes. Cheney's always in there talking about that significant progress that we've made in Iraq. He went on to say, what I see is an affirmation of the fact that there are parts of Iraq where things are going pretty well. And we're going to be talking at great length about Mr. Cheney a little later on in the program today. After our interview, I want to take Mr. Cheney to task for several things that he said lately. Oh, would I love to take Mr. Cheney to task, and we will today. I would love to meet the man in public, in person. I really would. I would love to meet the man. I'd love a chance to talk to him for just a little while. Because it's no secret that my contempt for him holds no bounds whatsoever. But Cheney was reacting to the announcement in London by Prime Minister Tony Blair that Britain would reduce the number of troops in Iraq to 5,500, down from 7,100, with further withdrawals likely by the end of the summer. And that came along with, it was kind of a tandem decision with Denmark to withdraw all of its huge contingent of 460 troops from southern Iraq. A lot of people don't know it, but the Danish troops have been operating under British command in Basra. Why would they do that? Why would the Danes operate under British command? I didn't know that either. But it's a predominantly Shia city and hasn't had a whole lot of the sectarian violence that they've had in Baghdad, like they've had in Baghdad lately. But what this all means is not that Basra is how we want it to be, Blair said in a statement to the British Parliament, but it does mean that the next chapter in Basra's history can be written by Iraqis. And the withdrawal has the full support of Iraqi Prime Minister Maliki, and indeed represents his wishes. Well, I think we all know that Maliki, if he had his druthers, would have all the Americans and everybody out of his country. But the White House is trying to build it up as some kind of a good news story. But the fact is, many people are saying the South is in bad shape with governance extremely tenuous. And much of the South is controlled by the militias or the police affiliated with them. And the British are saying Basra is still a difficult and sometimes dangerous place. And Blair acknowledged that, citing regular attacks on coalition forces. So here we have Blair's there and they're pulling out and that things aren't that great there. And Condoleezza Rice stressing that the British partial withdrawal, and I love this statement here. See if this makes any sense at all to you. Condoleezza Rice stressed the British partial withdrawal would not reduce the contingent's combat capabilities, even though most of the country's troops will be operating in a support role from the Basra Air Force Base, Basra Air Base. Tell me how cutting down from 7,100 to 5,500 troops, tell me how that does not reduce the contingent's combat capabilities. Doesn't it only make sense that if you take out 1,500 out of 7,100 that your capabilities aren't what they were before? She said the coalition remains intact. Man, I'll tell you, Condi baby, there isn't a hell of a lot left of that coalition, is there? Not much at all. There never was much of a coalition there, but it's even less now. But my question is, if things are so good down in Basra, as the American contingent wants us to believe, and Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney in particular think it's so great, why didn't he talk to old Tony Boy into taking those troops that he's drawing out of there? Why didn't he send them up there to help that surge that's taking place in Baghdad right now? Why not send talk Tony Boy into taking those 1,500 British troops and just driving up the road to Baghdad and helping out the Americans if the coalition is in fact intact, like they're trying to say that it is? If the coalition's intact, why, I should think that Prime Minister Blair would be very amenable to doing that. Why doesn't somebody give him a call and say, Tony boy, we need those troops up in Baghdad to help us out with that surge we're doing right now. You know, the very successful surge, the 21,000 American troops, and, oh, by the way, another 20,000, 25,000, maybe even 27,000 support troops that we had to send in for that. Why not send your boys on up there? We'd like to have the British troops help us out. South Korea has about 2,300 troops operating in northern Iraq, up in the Kurdish area where it's completely safe, always was. And it makes you wonder, why the hell were they there? The Kurds never were a problem in this whole thing. And, of course, Poland and Georgia. not the all-type Georgian. Poland and Georgia each have about 900 troops in the country. And Australia, with their great prime minister here lately opening his big mouth and saying what a great supporter he was of George W. Bush and the war and his criticism and all of the Democrats for wanting out of the damn thing. They've got a whole 550 people there in non-combat training roles in southern Iraq. If the Prime Minister of Australia is such a supporter of George W. Bush, tell me, why oh why are there only 550 Aussies there in non-combat training roles in southern Iraq? Because the Australian people won't have it any other way. That's why. Big talker, isn't he, down there in Australia, talking about how the Democrats were helping out the enemy lately. Highly criticized comments. So, hey, you can give us a call here on the program, 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. We'd love to have you give us a call. We've got a guest coming up in just a short while. We're going to talk about Mr. Cheney. I had some more notes here talking about, the Libby trial. This morning's latest news about the whole thing is that the jury is asking for masking tape and post-it notes and a large flip chart. Now, to me, that's not good news. Maybe they're just trying to make it look good, but a large flip chart, masking tape, and post-it notes. That sounds to me like they're going to get down to business and really talk this thing over in there, that if they need those supplies. It would seem to me from the testimony I heard that was the logs of the testimony I heard presented, that you could literally, and I've been on a jury several times, seems to me the foreman could call the jury to order, go around the table a couple of times, and have a conviction on this baby. You'd have to be deaf, dumb, and blind, and be missing all of your senses not to think that Mr. Libby, A, isn't guilty of lying to the prosecutor, but B, and it doesn't matter because he's not being prosecuted for that, but you'd have to be really out to lunch to think he wasn't involved in a massive conspiracy with one Mr. Darth Dick Cheney about this whole thing. Libby absolutely should be convicted. If he's not, then we're probably looking at another OJ type jury here. I don't know. I think, don't get me started on that, but I, needless to say, I think most of America thought the OJ jury was completely out to lunch, and I think we've got another one here if they don't convict Libby. The way it looks, they pretty much have to. They've got about, 22 different things that they could, 22 different lies that they could convict him of any one of them and cause him to be guilty of the whole thing. So, it looked like chances are pretty good. But then again, it only takes one. Only takes one to keep him off the hook, so we shall see. But things like Vice President Cheney's handwriting on the Wilson op-ed, that was passed around. You know, the one that talked about the wife and the junkets and all of Libby's handwritten notes scrawled out across lots and lots of newspaper clippings and the daily meeting notes back and forth. I think it appears that Fitzgerald, and I think maybe it's a long shot, but it appears to me that Fitzgerald is completely aware of the massive conspiracy and cover-up that took place in the vice president's office, and probably is very unhappy with it, since he's seems to be a very honorable man, and a man that likes compliance with the law and is a no-nonsense prosecutor. And he's certainly mentioned Cheney's undeniable culpability in the entire mess. And I wonder if he really and truly does have something else to go on. You remember, it's been, at least a year ago, over at truthout.org, that they were talking about the fact that they were, you know, going after Cheney, going after Karl Rove, and most especially Karl Rove. And by the way, where the hell has Karl Rove been lately? Anybody seen any public statements by Karl Rove lately? Not much at all that I can see. But anyway, it just It just seems odd. There haven't been any statements coming from Karl Rove lately on that or anybody else. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. But I think Fitzgerald, maybe not quite willing to let this go yet. What do you think? 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. If you're in the Phoenix area, you can call us on our Phoenix line, 202-370-6153. And if you're in Washington, D.C., well, the Washington, D.C. number is 202-370-6153. All right. And Phoenix is 623-444-5254. Man, I can't even talk today. 444-5254. All right. Hey, we're going to pause for a quick little break here, and we'll be back in just a moment or two.
I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Hey, listen to the Guy James Show here in the Head On Radio Network. And don't forget, I'm Guy James. And you most definitely are not. I'm glad to have you along with us today here on the program. Going to have a slight delay with our guest. He's tied up at the moment and with something important. And so it's going to be about 10 minutes until we have our guest on. So those of you that had your popcorn and soft drinks already, you can go ahead and start on that. and we'll get to it in just a moment or two, okay? You know, the one thing that's come out of this Libby trial has been the information that's come to light, and I'm sure most of you have noticed this, that all this information has come to light about the collusion between the Washington Press Corps and the White House. And not that we didn't already suspect some of it was going on, but now we know that it's the rule instead of the exception. We got, you know, Russert and Matthews and Miller and Novak and tons of, well, Miller, she covered the Washington Beast for the New York Times, so she's part of the Washington Press Corps. And a ton of others were all in on that dirty little secret about Valerie Plame from the very beginning, and they knew all about it. Here was being passed around from one of them to another, and Karl Rove and Cheney and Libby and Richard Armitage. They knew all about it. They kept their mouths shut to protect themselves so that they can continue to have access to the swine in the Bush administration. And Novak tells this lobbyist Holt, and Holt tells Karl Rove, what a convenient little scenario that was. And we find out that Russert is considered by the administration to be Cheney's bitch, and we are expected to ever believe another word out of Tim Russert's mouth? Florida residents would understand my feelings about Russert a bit better if they'd seen the last gubernatorial debate held here in Miami. Maybe some of you did see it around the country. I was thinking it was only on in Florida, but maybe it was all around the country. I'm not sure. But Russert was the Republicans' bitch in that one. It seems he's looked upon by the Republican hierarchy as some kind of whore that'll do anything they want, and evidently he will. Not just in Washington, but anywhere he's needed. Came down as Florida, especially for the gubernatorial debate. So now, when we watch the talking heads on TV, who do we believe? How do we know they aren't being used as a mouthpiece for the Junior Bush administration? What would have any of them think that we should believe anything they have to say anymore? They've done it all along. And sure, they started picking on Junior when the public tide started turning, but only after there was a solid majority of the people against the dunce in chief. Before that, they were trumpeting Junior's virtue day and night. You know that. You remember that. Great guy, good Christian, fine family man. He brought dignity back to the White House. Blah, 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 blah. And all of that while many of them knew, absolutely knew, the war was built on a lie. They knew the White House was trying to destroy Ambassador Wilson. They knew what a slimeball Dick Cheney is. This same group that went absolutely nuts, out of control, in a hysterical feeding frenzy when Clinton was found to have lied about sex, the same group that crucified Bill Clinton and never let up until he was out of office, the same group were the one big chorus singing the praises of Junior Bush from day one. They think about that. Think back on that. They protected him from the allegations about his National Guard service. They protected him from the stories about his hardcore drinking and drug abuse. And I've told the story on this very show about some little extracurricular activities that I happen to know about that Junior did. They loved this good old boy from Texas, who actually wasn't from Texas, by the way. And it just sickens me to see how the press has handled this entire situation. Oh, sure. Now they feel safe in being negative about Bush, and once in a while they'll say something, and Tweety Bird, he's starting to say something. But where the hell were they when he was planning and plotting this damn war of his? They sucked up every false story the White House fed them like hungry dogs, and every night they breathlessly reported his claims about Saddam being this horrible threat to the security of the United States of America. They were a pipeline for all the bullshit coming out of the vice president and the president's office and the Office of Special Plans. They were a direct pipeline right straight to the public, and they were loving it. They couldn't get enough of Bush in his run-up to war. Shock and awe. You remember all that? How the special graphics they put together and all the dramatic music they'd have to play? They couldn't wait for it. They had all this stuff ginned up and ready to go. They were like kids getting ready to go to the circus. They couldn't wait for this goddamn war to get started. They just couldn't wait. And I'm not sure breathless is a good enough word. But man, they were excited about it. They were really excited about it. And why? Well, for the newsmen themselves, the employees of themselves, the actual grunts that out and go out and do it, means jobs. It means job security for the press. It means ratings. And, of course, in the corporate headquarters, ratings mean profit. So it makes you wonder, how the Fourth Estate, how accountable are they, in fact, to the American public? Shock and all. I was shocked and all by the behavior of the media at the start of this whole mess, and I feel even worse about them now. I, honest to God, don't understand how anybody can trust the mainstream media anymore. Every one of the networks, and I'm not going to leave any of them out, they all seem to be corporate whores right now. Here we've got, this war between Fox and NBC, which is a joke. Fox is calling MSNBC a liberal network. They've got former bow tie boy, Tucker Carlson, and Joe Scarborough. They're as right wing as you can get, and that makes MSNBC liberal media. And of course, I'm having one of those moments. Keith Olbermann. They're saying, well, Keith Olbermann's on there. Keith Olbermann is really liberal. Keith Olbermann's on the left. Yes, he is. There's no question about that. Why would we lie about it? It's plain as the nose on your face. Keith Olbermann is looking at things from the liberal point of view, and I might add, from the truthful point of view. Something that Fox News doesn't know anything about. But if they want to take the example of Keith Olbermann being on MSNBC and making them a liberal network, if one guy makes MSNBC a liberal network, why, how about Glenn Beck being on CNN? Doesn't that make them a right-wing network then? If one guy translates into the whole network being liberal, shouldn't Glenn Beck make CNN a conservative network? See, they're... God, their reasoning in the whole business is just so full of crap. And I guess the idea is, who do you trust? Who do you trust? We know we can't trust Fox. We know that for a fact. MSNBC, yes, we've got Keith Olbermann on there, but when you see what Tweety Bird says sometimes, how madly in love he is with McCain and Rudy Giuliani. Has he got something for those two guys? Have you ever noticed the man love that Tweety Bird seems to have for Rudy Giuliani and McCain? My God, he loves those two boys. Oh, does he ever? So, I don't believe a word that comes out of the Tweety Bird's slobbering mouth. And what is it about the slobbering? Have you noticed that with the... I hate to brush it and bring that up. But have you noticed about the slobbering that's taken place lately? When Tweety Bird gets going good, man, it's running down his chin. I don't know. We are going to pause for just a moment and get a hold of our guest, and we'll be back in just a moment. I think we will anyway. Where's that producer at when you need him? Here we go. We'll be back in just a minute.
I pledge obedience to the flag of the United States of America. And to the corporations for which it stands, one nation, uninformed, in denial, with liberty and justice, forsaken, forbidden, and forgotten. just because we know we are right, just because we think we are free, because we have such military might, we are killing for the oil companies. Just because our statesmen are weak, and in the guise of Christianity, just to keep our headlights burning bright, we are killing for the oil companies. From 60,000 feet in the air, our heroes take out heathens from their padded easy chairs. Just because we saw it on TV, from journalists with no integrity, who laugh and smile while other nations bleed, as we are killing for the oil companies. If you don't shoot me, I will not shoot you. This is the best thing that we all can do. Just sell your car and ride a bicycle too. Then Muhammad and Jesus will live like brothers do. From 60,000 feet in the air, our heroes take out heathens from their padded easy chairs.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the corporations for which it stands, one nation, uninformed, in denial, with liberty and justice forsaken, forbidden, and forgotten.
Oh, yes. Hey, we're back with the Guy James Show today. Having one of those days so far. Our guest is, AWOL. let's say it like it is. So maybe he'll call in, maybe not. I'm not going to call back, so I'm not into that. If when I make an appointment, I keep my appointment. So anyway, we were going to talk, and I'll just briefly go over what I want to talk about today. And it's this new Iraq oil law. And you heard about Condi Rice just coming back from the Middle East. And she was there to try and convince the Iraqi parliament that they certainly need to go through with this new Iraqi proposed oil law. And it's amazing what they're trying to pull off. And I might add, will pull off here. The Bush administration, you talk about stealing oil. That's what they're up to. It's all they were ever up to. In one of the first studies of the Iraqi public opinion, get this. I've been reading a book sent to me, written by a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army, and I'm going to have him on the program. He's definitely looking at this war from the right and how right and just it was, and I want to have him on this program to talk to him about his opinions about the war. But he suggested that we didn't do a very good job with PSYOPs in Iraq, that we should have gotten the media in right there. We should have hired some media people. We should have got our bullshit on the air over there as soon as possible to try and convince the Iraqi people that what we were doing was right and good for them, and they should just have a little bit of patience and don't worry, and things will be all right. And he said instead, while they listened to that Al Jazeera and they listened to another program coming out of the United Arab Emirates that was not favorable to the United States invasion of the sovereign country of Iraq, and so it turned to people in Iraq against the American government. He thought that was all wrong, and we'll talk to him about it when we have him on that on the show next week. But finally, they got a study, and he did something that he suggested something that I think is entirely correct in his book. Don't have that book sitting here right now. Can't think of the name of it. But one of the first, one of the first thing they say you should do is when you go in and occupy a country, if you're going to occupy a country, is get out and get some polling done. Talk to the people of that country and find out what it is that are their concerns. What are, you know, what are their feelings about everything, and do what the people want to be done. And I'll get to the phones in just a second here, but one of the very first studies that was done, finally, of Iraqi public opinion, far too late, in my opinion, after this whole thing started, after the invasion in March of 2003, the Gallup poll company went in there and asked Iraqis their thoughts on the Bush administration's motive for going to war. 1% of Iraqis said they believed the motive was to establish democracy. 1%. One. And you wonder why there's an insurgency? Slightly more than 5% said the Americans there were to assist the Iraqi people. Now that's good, the one and the five. There's 6% of the people that thought the American motives were fine and dandy. But 43% of the people, the overwhelming preponderance of the Iraqi people, 43%, said to be were there to rob Iraq's oil. Well, now we know right off the bat that 43% of the Iraqi people, they get it, don't they? They got it from the very beginning. 43%. And so, here we go, nearly 4 years later, 4 years coming up next month, and we've got the Secretary of State of the United States over talking to the Iraqi Parliament. We finally got this document, this Iraq oil contract that the Western oil companies are trying to get done. It was written in English, yes, in English, and passed out to the Iraqi Parliament. They're doing everything they can to tell these people that they need to pass this, written in English, by the way. Financially, it's completely unfair to Iraq. It's going to take 35 years for the contract to expire. There are going to be hundreds of billions of dollars stolen from Iraq by the Western oil company. And guess where that money's going to go, by the way? Yes. Hundreds of billions of dollars over 35 years at the country of Iraq, which is decimated right now and has no money, and yet ExxonMobil is going to get their share. What's more important, the well-being of ExxonMobil or the well-being of the entire country, a sovereign country of Iraq? I wonder, where do you put that on the scale? What's more important, the goddamn shareholders? Don't get me started. The shareholders of this big company? Or the sovereign country of Iraq? What's it, 23 million people and shrinking every day? It's their oil. It's their oil. And I understand this, that we can't, that we gotta have oil. I understand that. But what I don't understand is there is no significant effort going on in this country. Nothing really significant to replace fossil fuel and oil. And you know, we have a larger military budget than any other country on earth. So we know we can go take their oil, like we're doing right now. And so it makes one wonder, will there be any effort to replace oil? Will there be? As long as we can go steal it with our military. Ah, that makes the right-wingers angry when they hear that, don't they? Ah, that they hate that. We've got a history of going over and robbing and pillaging the Middle Eastern countries, and we wonder why they hate us. I'm astounded every time, as a student of the Middle East, I am astonished every time I hear that. When I hear the right-wingers say that, oh, you know, it's the Muslims, they hate us because, oh my God, study the history and you might finally figure out why those people hate us. All you need is a very elementary understanding of the history of America and France and England in the Middle East, and you sure as hell will learn pretty doggone quickly why they question our motives on everything we do in their area of the world. And why not? I'm not saying they should have these terrorist activities. I'm not saying they should cut people's heads off and all that. But I'm talking about the people on the whole. I'm not talking about the extremists. My God, we've got extremists in this country too. They always single out the extremist. I can single out what's-his-name that bombed the building in Oklahoma City. We've got extremists. Jerry Falwell's an extremist, for Christ's sake. So let's not just single out the extremists that do that. Everybody's got extremists in their land. And we do too. But please, America, study the damn area and understand why this conflict has taken place in the first place and why a good percentage of those people hate us. And then resolve to do something about it. That's the trouble with the United States nowadays. Instead of getting at the root cause of the problem, oh, let's just send in the bombs. Let's just send in the shock and awe. To hell with what really caused this problem. Forget the fact that we made Saddam Hussein into what he was when he was running the country. Forget the fact that, you know, a couple of different administrations kissed his ass and gave him all the military money and everything that he needed. Forget that. Hey, let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy, this is Sarge.
Hi, Sarge.
I just want to say this. you go to war for the oil you wish you had, not the oil that you have.
Sarge, that's good. Yeah.
Okay. I want to mention this deal that the Veterans for Peace has going on. They're coming down into the to the area. People can go to unreportednews.net, click on my column. There's an itinerary that is set up where people can actually join in and become part of this if they want to. So I would like to get that out to people that they can actually join from starting at Fort Lejeune, North Carolina, and it's going into Pascagoula. They're going to stay a few days. They're going to work to help Jim Yahtzee and his organization build some homes down there and take care of some people. So,
home of Trent Lott.
Yeah. And the guy who actually had the lowest votes, the highest number of votes against him than anywhere in the state. 35% of Jackson County voted against him, and that's of those who voted.
Ah, okay.
So, I mean, he's about as popular as, I won't say.
Yeah.
But also, I think one thing that I want everyone to really stop and think about is while we're listening to all this war talk about Iran and how Iraq's doing, let's also stop and remember we've had a lot of troops die in the last few days because of vehicles that are improperly armored. And here's the sad story. The vehicles that are in use are a Faber company. They are buying them from these people, even though they do not meet the requirements for the mission that is assigned. So they will not buy them. But they say they will have it up to par in June.
Oh, well.
June.
Sarge, how many more could be killed between now and June? Only a couple of 300-400? Hey, you know.
And the guys who are the National Guard who works on these arming these Humvees, I've got reports from them. My friend Leonard Clark out in Arizona that you talked to yesterday has gotten a report where they are actually putting this armor on these things, and this armor is so poor that it's slowing down the vehicles and it's making them more vulnerable. It is, in other words, a death trap for our troops.
Sure.
And I think we really, really, really need to raise hell about this, because every time one of these jackasses gets a dollar off of these vehicles, it's going to cost our young people their lives because some son of a bitch wants to get rich off of them.
Hey, but it's not their kids driving them, Sarge, you know?
Yeah. Of course, and then maybe we can get these illegal aliens to do it.
No. Well, they do their best to do that, you know. There's a lot of people in armed services of the United States who are not citizens.
But I tell you what, one thing I have done, because this little right-wing town of mine is getting to the point where they don't even want to help their neighbors in Jackson County, I have started ordering my pet food from Phoenix, Arizona. There's a group there. In fact, they're supposed to be listening to your show now. They found out about you today and said they were going to listen. So if they're listening, hello to them. But I'm going to start ordering my pet food from people who support liberal radio, whether it be NovaM, Head On, either one. I will support these people. I'm not going to buy from these right-wing rats anymore. And I urge everybody to do the same thing.
Well, I certainly do as well, Sarge, and thank you for those comments. Thanks so much.
Okay, I'm going to let you go. Thank
and
you.
By the way, you can head on over to unreportednews.net, and if you can't remember that, it's right there on my site, and you can head on over there from there. So find out what Sarge is talking about on there. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. I don't know. It's... On the one hand, you know, I hear the right-wingers talking, well, we've got to have oil. Yeah, and that's true. We do. But if we had all the oil, if the three biggest oil-producing areas in the world are, one, Saudi Arabia. I forget whether Iran or Iraq is second and third. One of them's second and the other one's third. Doesn't matter. If we had all the oil over here, would we stand for some other country coming in here that had bigger guns than we do and taking it from us? Would we stand when 95% of our nation's income, if we were in the same stead as those people are, that 95% of their income was due to the oil business? And American oil companies come in and sign contracts and bamboozled the parliament and the Iraqi people and took 75% of that money? Would we stand for that? Would we? I'd like to think we wouldn't. You know, even the parliamentarians in the Iraqi government, the ones that have the final say to pass the law, a lot of them don't even have a copy of this law yet. And we've got Condi Rice over there trying to sell it to them. Oil is... You know, there's a more sinister side to this, too. Oil, to most people, is about profit. You know, we talk about the price of gas going up, and it's going up again. I don't know about where you live. I think it is all over the country. It's been up about a dime in the last 3-4 weeks, gradually edging up again. It's not for any other particular reason, and I hope you know this. The price of gas isn't going up. It's you know, forget that crap about the refineries. Forget that crap about the shortage, all that. The price of gas is going up because wealthy speculators are driving up the price. The cost of production didn't go up. Think about it. It's speculation that drove up the price. But, you know, oil is profit. Bush people are after profit. They're friends. But there's something else that goes along with it. And if we go to war with Iran, and if we end up with control of their oil and Iraqis' oil, suddenly we're in the catbird seat, aren't we? We got control of most of the world's oil. And we will become the imperial power that the neocons and the PNAC group set out to be in the first place. That's what it's after. To become the imperial power of the world. Money, oil is money, and money is power. And control of that oil is, and we can lord that over the rest of the countries in the world if we have control of it all. Think about that. Think about what the PNAC group and the neocons, think about their motives in all of this. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
I've given you a break from me a few days, but I listen every day. I appreciate much what you're doing. I wanted to, you sometimes use the word we, and I'm talking about these invasions for profits, and I know that you know that it's the profits of the Halliburtons and Kellogg Brown and Root and Lockheed Martins and Exxon Mobil. It is not profits that are, it's not going to be oil for us. It's oil for the big money interests.
Certainly.
Controlling it, and that's what it's all about. There is such a threat to this country, such a threat. You know, like every day that goes by, I think more harm being done to this country, you know, overcharging the heck out of Medicare, attempting to bankrupt it, trying to find ways to get rid of rent subsidies, trying to shift more money to the billionaires. Every day, that kind of craziness. How this country has not gone bankrupt, I have not clue one. How you can be borrowing as much money as they are and shifting it all to their little no-bid war profiteers.
Well, that's how it works. The profiteers take the profit, and the little people pay the money back, and will pay it back for decades to come. That sounds simplistic, but that's how it is, isn't it, Dave?
And indeed it is. You know, and some very intelligent people are fearing that the point of no return is already passed, that we cannot undo the harm that they've done now. And if they get another year, another 2 years, imagine how much more they're going to do. Because they are full hell-bent on doing as much harm to we the people as they can find ways to creatively come up with.
Well, I absolutely agree. There's no question. You know, the right-wingers talk about the threat, the terrorist threat we have. There's no question in my mind, and I've heard you say it, I've said it many times, the greatest threat to this country is from within. The greatest threat we have is sitting in the White House in Washington, D.C. right now.
And sitting in there by fraud is my opinion, too.
Sure.
Yeah, they stole the country, they stole the government, and they're stealing everything that they can possibly steal, and there is no end to their greed. They're going to go on doing it. Once they've done all the middle class and working class people in, they'll have to be cannibalizing each other, I think.
Well, yeah, gradually it'll slim down, won't it? It'll get to be a smaller and smaller and smaller group of people, but yeah, they'll keep eating their own. But
more and more people now sitting cold in the rain, and the shelters are all full up, and it's moving in the direction that they're working at moving it in. Some truly, truly dreadful people in there.
Yeah, that's a fact, and I'm going to talk about Dick Cheney a lot in the second hour of the program today, and everybody's heard me say it many times, and they must think I'm psychotic about it or something, but I don't think there's a more evil man that's ever lived within the borders of the United States of America. Certainly none that's ever been a part of the government in this country.
You could search the prisons of this country, probably the world, and not find anybody more criminal than the man you're going to be talking about.
Yes, I feel that way. It's a shame. It's a shame we have to talk about that, but it's the truth.
Stay with your wonderful efforts, Guy, and I hope everybody that listens to you will call Congress members and say, "What the hell are you sleeping? What rock are you under? Wake up! Get rid of these criminals."
And by the way, we've got great contact information on our new site about getting a hold of your senator or your representative. It's there on the links. Very, very easy to contact them. So keep that in mind as well. Dave, thanks for calling.
Thank you so much, guys.
What do we got? About a minute until the news here today. Man, where does the time go? I guess I can get my timing right here. We got about a minute and 10 seconds, maybe a minute and 18 seconds till the news. I do want to say thanks to one gentleman, part of the United States military right now. And I want to say thanks for standing up and being a man. Don't know anything about this gentleman, but I want to thank him for being a man. The Army Vice Chief of Staff, Richard Cody, said yesterday that a breakdown in leadership was responsible for the poor condition of Walter Reed's outpatient facilities. He said, "I'll take responsibility and I'll make sure that it's fixed," Cody promised. That's a start, isn't it? Somebody finally taking responsibility for the whole thing. Haven't heard that from the administration, now have you? Hey, we're going to pause for the news. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The U.S. military said that at least 12 people were killed. Iraqi officials say the death toll is 26 and that women and children were among the dead. Also in Iraq today, west of Baghdad, U.S. troops raided a car bomb factory. They reportedly found five buildings filled with propane tanks and other chemicals believed to be used in the manufacture of car bombs. Across Baghdad today, 14 bodies were found. Today is the first anniversary of the bombing of the Shiite shrine at Samarra, which set off a year-long wave of sectarian killings and reprisals. The mosque still stands in ruins. Today, the U.N. Nuclear Watchdog Agency released a report which said Iran has not suspended its enrichment-related activities and is continuing that work. Iran failed to meet the U.N.-imposed deadline Wednesday to halt its uranium enrichment program. Vice President Dick Cheney made a stop in Australia today after his trip to Japan. Demonstrators clashed with police before his visit in Sydney. Vice President Cheney also harshly criticized the Democrats' recent attempt to stop President Bush's 21,000 troop surge in Iraq. He said their approach would, quote, validate the al-Qaeda strategy, end quote. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi responded that the vice president was questioning the war critics' patriotism. Today is the second day of jury deliberations in the Lewis Scooter Libby trial. The former chief of staff to Vice President Cheney faces perjury and obstruction of justice charges. An upcoming Time magazine profile of independent Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman indicates there is a, quote, remote possibility he may switch over to the Republican side of the aisle. The article states that the GOP has been courting Lieberman for some time. Since Hurricane Katrina hit, the volunteer group Habitat for Humanity says it has helped rebuild 416 homes along the Gulf Coast. However, the massive storm a year and a half ago destroyed at least 250,000 homes in the region. A national assessment released today finds that high school students' reading skills have not improved, even though they are taking tougher courses and earning better grades. There were several explanations offered for the discrepancy, including grade inflation and changes in grading standards. The history department at Middlebury College has banned the use of the Wikipedia as a research source citation. This is the Quality News Network.
Huell Hauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their business banking.
What are you looking for in your business bank?
Somebody that can offer me services such as car loans, equipment loans, leases, a line of credit.
And do you think because they're local, they understand your needs better than a bigger bank would?
Yes, I think they're really aware of the community and are here to help the small business people.
So it's a local bank with big bank services?
Absolutely. They're here on a regular basis to make sure if there's any other services they can provide, they're here to talk about it.
Now, it's a community bank, but it's part of a network of banks.
We searched out a bank that would have the flexibility and the understanding of our needs and a willingness to spend the time doing that.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks, available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
The New Zealand Fisheries Minister reports that fishermen in the Antarctic waters caught a rare giant squid weighing an estimated 990 pounds. It could be the largest such squid ever caught. China views internet addiction as a serious social problem. Addicts are treated with electroshock therapy to cure them. A recent survey found that close to 14% of Chinese teens may become addicted to the internet. Cisco Systems and Apple Inc. have settled their dispute over the newly unveiled iPhone. The two companies have agreed to share the name. Cisco had filed a trademark infringement suit against Apple. The world's largest natural and organic grocery chain, Whole Foods Market, wants to buy its smaller competitor, Wild Oats Market, for $565 million. Wild Oats has 110 stores, which would be added to Whole Foods' 190 stores. KFC, the chicken restaurant chain, wants Pope Benedict to bless its new fish snacker sandwich, which the company hopes will be popular during Lent. The president of KFC sent the Vatican a personal note with the request. Light Sweet Crude has been trading at $60.95 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange today. And near the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones is down 51 points at 12,687. The NASDAQ is up 7 points and the S&P 500 down 1. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
Throw the second switch! Not the third switch!
Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown. Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Thank you. Thank you for staying on during the news and coming back to the Guy James Show. We got about 53 minutes of good programming left for you today. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join the conversation, and we implore you to do that. We want to hear your views on everything as well. Yes, we do. I actually listened to the news. I normally am very, very busy during the news, and I was today too, but listened to a 990-pound squid. Did you see the picture of that thing today? Oh, man, it was huge. 990-pound squid. Wouldn't that give you a little shock? You're down to a little snorkeling, and that baby happens to go whipping by. And a remote possibility that Joe Lieberman might join the Republican Party. Oh, how could that be? Does anybody at all find that surprising that Joe Lieberman wouldn't use the leverage that he has now in between the two parties? Did anybody think that egotistical bastard wouldn't go back and forth from the majority leader to the minority leader and make himself a deal? Does anybody think Joe Lieberman wouldn't do that? We all know what kind of character Joe Lieberman has. If they came on 10 minutes from now saying Joe Lieberman would switch, why, it wouldn't surprise me whatsoever. Not at all. In fact, if you remember, I predicted it before the election. I said that he would switch. God, I hope I'm wrong on that. But then again, let's cut this loser loose. But then again, we surrender the... Ah, what a problem. We got an unethical bastard like Joe Lieberman on our side. We need him from the majority, and a lot of people argue that, yes, we need him to maintain the majority because he will vote with us most of the time, but then you never know when he will abandon us and vote with the other side and slit our throats. Such as Supreme Court nominees, for one thing. You know, a lot of people don't understand just how important that is. Our safety, our liberty. It depends upon preserving the Constitution of the United States as our forefathers made it. And people seem to forget that the people of the United States are the rightful masters of the Congress and the courts. Not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who pervert the Constitution, which is what the Bush people are doing right now. Some people have a glorified image of the Supreme Court justices, that they're necessarily a lot smarter than we are somehow. Sure, we've had justices who are brilliant, just as we've had Supreme Court justices that have been of average intelligence. We've had justices who were racist and bigots and dishonest and just plain scoundrels. They're not better than the rest of us. But God, they're important. They're really important. Perhaps they're too important, but that's the way it is. Remote possibility of Joe Lieberman switching parties. Hey, how about that story about the Kentucky Fried Chicken folks trying to get Pope Benedict to, what was it, to bless the some dish they got out? Boy, I can see that happening. Where is it? KFC headquarters. They were, I think, didn't he start out in Louisville? I think it was. I think he started out in Louisville, Kentucky, the Colonel. What, would the Pope fly over to Louisville, Kentucky, and, I don't know, go to the KFC headquarters and bring the Pope mobile and all that, drive through downtown Louisville there, to drive by the dock with the Star of Louisville, that nice boat that goes up and down the Ohio River and all that? Interesting. And we're living in an interesting time, folks. Maybe they'll sign a contract with the Pope, you suppose? Pick up some extra cash? I don't know. Anyway, we told you we want to talk a little bit about our beloved, the esteemed one, Dick Cheney, today. We've already spoken a little bit about him. I think you all know the contempt in which I hold this man. And I know a lot of you do as well. There probably has not ever been a more despised political figure in the United States. I certainly can't think of one. Can you? Maybe Aaron Burr. But that was in the days before all the publicity is out now, and most of the public didn't even know about Aaron Burr. But as a despised public official, I can't think of anybody, and I'm racking my brain. I just can't think of anybody. I can't think of anybody, any Democrat, that the Republicans have hated so much. And we know that not only do about 90% of the Democrats hate Dick Cheney, but a good portion of Republicans hate him too. So this is kind of a, you know, this is kind of a little different situation. We'll see if our caller wants to do it. We got a caller on the line. Let's see if we want to talk about Dick Cheney. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, this is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
You got so many things to talk about.
Yeah, we're talking about Dick Cheney right now.
Oh, Lord. Well, I just agree with you on that. I mean, I've been thinking that since the first time I knew who he was, when he said he was running for vice president. And he just had an aura about him.
Yep.
Of evil. Does. And, you know, and you hate to feel that way about anybody, but my goodness.
Yes, I think everybody feels that way about him.
I did want to say a little something about oil.
Yes.
Don't mind.
Yes.
My news, I go to BuzzFlash because they have articles from all over. And
good site.
I had one today about over in Europe somewhere about they say that solar could replace a lot of things, solar energy.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, what is the oil and gas companies going to do about it? Because this will really undercut them.
Well, it will, but the people that are running the companies right now are looking out for now. Very few of them looking out for the funeral. Funeral. Yeah, that fits in there, too. Very few of them looking out for the future, I think.
I was talking about people out in, you know, in rural areas and all. They could, do so much for them. And I was thinking about over in Iraq, that could be a substitute. Let the Iraqis start their own solar. It's a hot place. It's hotter than over here.
Well, if they're left to their own devices, they've got enough oil to last them from here till who knows when. But
well, they could make money at it if we didn't get it all.
Yeah,
know.
That's right.
But anyway, now I don't know what to say, but I'll tell you one thing I heard when about Dick Cheney. When he was on Larry King, and believe it or not, Larry King asked him about why did he vote when he was in Congress, why did he vote to keep Mandela in prison in South Africa? Well, you know, he gave this underhanded.
Wasn't he, my memory's failing me, but wasn't he the only person that voted for that? I'm thinking he was. Yeah, it was some kind of a non-binding resolution that our Congress voted on.
But why would we have the right to vote on somebody staying in prison.
Well, I mean, it's just that the United States Congress wanted, as I recall, wanted to make a statement about it. And, of course, yes, we had no influence on it, but they just wanted to make a statement on where they stood, and they had a vote on it. And I could be wrong, but I think Dick Cheney was the only one that didn't vote for this message that they wanted to send.
And another thing that I remember about him was, I think it was on 60 Minutes, and this was in the beginning, you know, of our sorrows. Anyway, they were talking about when he was working at, what was the name of that company he works at?
Halliburton. That was perfect marriage right there.
And he said that they had separate bathrooms, you know, for the people that came in, you know, from the other countries, so that they wouldn't contaminate their private bathrooms. I just thought that was really...
Well, it is. It is Dick Cheney, you know. His butt is far more important than anybody else's.
Yeah, but you know, I don't know. I just don't. I think I don't know. It's just they're all embarrassing to me.
Well, Dick Cheney's sure leaving a trail behind him. Hey, Juanita, thanks for your call.
Okay,
good to hear from you.
You too. Bye-bye.
You know, I was thinking you're going to think I'm insane, but I actually dreamed this the other night. I did. I swear to you. I got my hand up in the air. I'm swearing. I dreamed that it was back in those days of the Cold War, and Brezhnev was standing up there on the review stand. You know what I mean? When they used to do that. And had, you know, those like 25 Russian generals standing there in their big military coats with about 200 medals on each one, you know, weighed down. They probably weighed 500 pounds, those guys did, with all the medals. Do you ever see the like? You remember that? And they had their military uniforms on, standing there in the cold, tumbling down, reviewing a parade going by or something like that. And those great big military hats they had on, big, huge, oversized hats, standing beside Brezhnev. Dick Cheney was standing there in one of those uniforms in my dream. He was standing right beside Brezhnev. He just reminds me of a guy that's how he'd be. There's something there. If I would go on the couch for that one, I'm sure they'd find something crazy about me. But anyway, over at Slate Magazine, Daniel Benjamin talked to us about it. Yet another tale about Douglas... the effing stupidest guy on the face of the earth. Fife and his approach to marketing the Iraq War, and you'll see where Dick Cheney comes in this. Larry Wilkinson recounted the story of a meeting in the White House Situation Room during the run-up to the invasion of Iraq when policymakers met with top intelligence officials from a number of agencies. And after the intelligence officials made their presentation, Doug Fife leapt to his feet, pointed to a certain national intelligence officer, and declared, "You people don't know what you're talking about." And after the outburst, Fife held up a piece of paper and read aloud an account of al-Qaeda's ties with Iraq in the early 1900s, and then Deputy National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley, who's a guy well-known and well-liked in Washington for his gentlemanly ways, he was looking on, totally aghast at this scene. And Wilkerson said that after the end of the meeting, he got a copy of the paper that Douglas, the effing stupidest guy on the planet, he got a copy of the paper and determined that it was a newspaper clipping that had been retyped in the vice president's office to be presented as intelligence. And so as Benjamin points out, when you follow stuff like this back to its origin, invariably you end up at the same place. Dick Cheney. Fife might have been the guy in charge of the counterintelligence evaluation group, which, by the way, and as you well know, produced much of the stupid intelligence that made its way into the public speeches that Bush and Cheney and all of them. But Cheney was the guy behind it all. Cheney was the man. And, you know, reading that recent interview, that recent statement about Doug Fife, he really is the effing stupidest guy on the face of the earth. And yet Dick Cheney put a lot of faith in the guy. You know, somebody, a really wise man back in 2003, talking about Cheney, said that he had a curiously enduring reputation for competence, even in the face of mountains of contrary evidence. His terrible judgment will, at some point, become impossible even for the Beltway crowd to see. And I think it's happening right now. I'm hearing that there's a little bit of an estrangement taking place between Bush and Cheney, that Bush no longer has given him the access that he once had, that he no longer can go and lay something down on the desk and have Bush sign it and go ahead and do it. I don't know if that's the truth, but that's what we're hearing. And from a guy that I think many of us respect, I do. I don't know what the man's politics are. I really don't care. But I did I admire for his honesty, his forthrightness, retired U.S. Army General Norman Schwarzkopf. I think if you're going to have a leader in the military, Schwarzkopf no doubt is the kind of guy you want to have. That's my opinion. And in his book, it's called, by the way, It Doesn't Take a Hero. It's a good book. You ought to read it. Schwarzkopf describes the evolution of the plans that he and his staff made following Iraqi's 1990 invasion of Kuwait. And as his mission to defend Saudi Arabia quickly grew into an offensive plan to drive Iraqi troops out of everyone's favorite oppressive emirate, Kuwait, Schwarzkopf developed a four-step course of action that was intended to grind his enemy down into some sort of miserable fighting condition and before he finished him off with an overwhelming and an elaborately staged ground attack. That's what eventually what happened. And the problem is, all of that grinding and staging, it took time. Good planning. And quite a few of the people Schwarzkopf worked for were getting a little antsy and pretty damn impatient. And following one White House meeting at which he'd asked for more time and more troops, Storm and Norman reports, Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Colin Powell called him to warn him that he was being loudly compared by a top administration official to George McClellan. And you all know why Lincoln had to replace McClellan. My God, the official supposedly complained, he's got all the force he needs. Why won't he just attack? Well, Schwarzkopf notes that the unnamed official who'd made the comment was a civilian who knew next to nothing about military affairs, but he'd been watching the Civil War documentary on public television and was now an expert. And then 20 pages later in his book, Schwarzkopf, you know, he casually drops the information that he got this inspirational gift from Secretary of Defense Dick Cheney right before the air war finally got underway. Cheney was presenting a gift to a military man, and he chose something with an appropriate theme, a complete set of videotapes of Ken Burns' PBS series, The Civil War. Imagine that. And that was just a hint. That was Cheney's subtlety, the way he does things, of letting Schwarzkopf know that he knew more about the military and that Schwarzkopf ought to study some of the famous battles in the Civil War and maybe he'd know how to run war. That was Dick Cheney's way of telling him that he knew more about it than Cheney did, Schwarzkopf did. But that wasn't the only gift that Dick Cheney had for Norman Schwarzkopf. Having figured out that the general was being too cautious with his fourth combat command in 3 decades of soldiering, Schwarzkopf was a lifer. You know, Cheney got his staff busy and began presenting, get this, began presenting Schwarzkopf with Cheney's own idea on how to fight the Iraqis. What if we, does this sound like, I don't want to bring the analogy in here, but we all know that Adolf Hitler was not exactly a great military tactician, and yet he told Rommel and all of his generals how to fight a war, and they just rolled their eyes. Here we have the same thing taking place. We have a civilian who had no military training whatsoever, his only association with the military was the 5 or 6 deferments he had, that he had to be in contact with them, tell them, hell no, I'm not coming. But Cheney actually got his staff busy and began sending Norman Schwarzkopf his ideas on how to fight the Iraqis. And he says to Schwarzkopf, what if we parachute the 82nd Airborne into the far western part of Iraq? Hundreds of miles from Kuwait and totally cut them off from any kind of support and seize a couple of missile sites. And then line up along the highway and drive for Baghdad. And Schwarzkopf says charitably, he described the plan as being as bad as it could possibly be. But despite our criticism, the Western excursion wouldn't die. Three times in that week alone, Colin Powell called with new variations of that plan from Cheney's staff, and the most bizarre part of it involved capturing a town in western Iraq and offering it to Saddam in exchange for Kuwait. None of this idiocy especially surprised Schwarzkopf, who points out that he'd already known Cheney as one of the fiercest cold warriors in Congress. And so, of course, you already know what Dick Cheney, the fierce cold warrior, fierce advocate of the earliest and bravest possible attack, a man not afraid to take bold action with the lives of other men. You already know what he did during the Vietnam War when he was just the right age to open his personal Pandora's box and got some of that martial ferocity into direct practice. He took 5 years worth of deferments, four as a student and one as a soon-to-be father, and he avoided serving in the military altogether. He said he had other priorities, and that's fine. A lot of people had other priorities. A lot of people didn't want to go to Vietnam. But a lot of people who didn't want to go to Vietnam and didn't serve in the Army at that time, a lot of those people aren't war hawks telling people how to get their own sons killed. You understand what I'm saying there? Does that man have any right to be telling General Norman Schwarzkopf what to do about military tactics? Does he have any right to do it at all? And does anybody remember Cheney's comments recently when he made the statement about Congress wanting to, in his words, direct the war? Remember Cheney said that? Well, we can't have members of Congress directing the war. Cheney ought to know something about people not qualified wanting to direct the war. He tried to do it all by himself. Tried to influence the director of operations in the theater of Gulf One over there, tried to tell him how to run the war. And yet, recently, he's criticizing Congress for wanting to get their 2 cents worth in on this one. Man, I tell you, this guy's got cojones as big as basketballs. He really does. This is an incredible story that a man would try this. It really is an amazing story. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
I've been waiting for something to happen, for a week or a month or a year, with the blood in the ink of the headline and the sound of the crowd in my ear. You might ask what it takes to remember when you know that you've seen it before, where a government lies to a people and a country is drifting to war. There's a shadow on the faces of the men who sent the guns to the wars that are fought in places where their business interests run. On the radio, talk shows, and the TV, you hear one thing again and again: how the USA stands for freedom, and we come to the aid of a friend. But who are the ones that we call our friends? These governments are killing their own. Or the people who find they can't take anymore, and they pick up a gun, or a brick, or a stone. And there are lies in the balance.
our clothes and our cars. They sell us everything from youth to religion. Same time they sell us our war. I wanna know who the men in the shadows are. I wanna hear somebody asking them why. They can be counted on to tell us who our enemies are, but they're never the ones to fight or to die. And there are lies in the balance.
Hey, the phone lines are open. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. If you want to talk about Dick Cheney, we're going to keep you to that this half hour. 866-546-5254. Welcome back to the Guy James Show. Glad to have you along with us this afternoon. We're discussing at the present time probably the most evil man to ever hold office here in the United States. I don't think there's any question about that. I don't think a lot of people would argue with that. A few of the diehards, of course. A few. You have to be really a diehard to argue with that one. Hey, let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. It's Phil up in Daytona Beach.
Hi, Phil.
Hi. I'm glad you're talking about Cheney. And, I believe he's the most evil man walking the planet. Did you know, Guy, that there's the first Gulf War, you know, the satellite photos of, you know, 250,000 troops on the Kuwaiti border,
mm-hmm.
and coal tanks, you know, Congress never got to see those photos. We never got to see them. And then there was the Soviets, the Russians, released their satellite photos, and there was nothing there. Did you know that? Cheney lied on that one as well.
Well, he
well, I mean, that's neither here nor there right now. I want to say, for folks who are still having a hard time looking at 9/11, there is a lot there that implicates Dick Cheney in his involvement in the 9/11 attacks, particularly with the stand down of the military and Norman Mineta's testimony during the 9/11 commission hearings about stand down orders from Cheney.
Are you talking about incompetence or involvement?
I'm saying involvement.
Oh, I can't go there.
See, that's the problem, guys.
No, it's not the problem. If I thought that was true, I couldn't live in this country. I would not live in this country if I thought that was true. I would move tomorrow.
This is what I think is the problem with a lot of Americans.
No, it's not a problem, Phil. Where's the evidence?
We can't
talk about it. We can't allege it. We can't say that it might be true, could be true. There needs to be a smoking gun, and there is none.
Well, there's been a lot of folks looking into it.
And, well, looking into it, unfortunately, doesn't make it true. I swear to God, if I thought that was true for a moment, I'd move to Canada or someplace
else.
Let
me ask you this, Guy. If it was possible, would you be open to having an investigation, to pursuing it?
Anything's,
if there was enough,
anything's,
you know,
possible.
I'd
have to have enough credible people want to investigate it.
Well, what about
credible people?
Well, I think that it needs to be looked at. There's a lot of people looking at it. There was a testimony of Norm Mineta. Cheney had control of all the war games going on that morning. There's a heck of a... I'll send you something in an email that a lot of research done by...
I've read all that stuff. I really have. And I've honestly, Phil, I've not read anything that has been the slightest bit convincing to me. Nothing. And I look at everything Dick Cheney does with a jaundiced eye.
Yeah.
And I can't accept it. I can't. I've read so much of that stuff. And I, you know, here
none of it makes you want to have a real investigation.
No. No.
Why?
Because I don't see anybody that's credible more than one credible person behind it. Nobody. Just nobody. If a bunch of people that I consider very credible and very trustworthy came up with some solid evidence and showed it to me, then I might go for it. But I've not seen anything that I thought was the slightest bit credible. I really haven't.
Well, I'd want to know why the greatest military in the world let four airplanes fly around for an hour and 45 minutes with Dick Cheney running the
I think it was rank incompetence. I think they didn't know what the hell they were doing. I don't think Dick Cheney knew what the hell he was doing. I think we had a bunch of clowns running the whole situation. It should have been stopped.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. And I should live in Missouri.
Yeah.
You got to show me. And I haven't been shown. And there's a lot of good stories and all that stuff. I mean, here we are again with the Kennedy thing with this new film. My God.
Well, I think that there's enough questions that this needs to be investigated and looked into. And there's a good possibility Dick Cheney was involved in it.
Well, the problem with the whole story is, Phil, is there'd have to be a hell of a lot more people than Dick Cheney involved in it. A lot more. And
this
world being what it is, you're not going to get 10, 20, 50 people, however many, would have to be involved in like that to keep their mouth shut. It's just not going to happen. And human nature being what it is, it's not going to happen. You couldn't think of a conspiracy that took place that you had that many people keep their mouths shut.
I think it needs to be looked at. I think we really need to get to the bottom of everything that's been, all this insanity, everything has been done in the name of 9/11, you know? And 9/11, the whole thing was a whitewash, a cover-up, you know? And I don't know, Guy. I think that's where the truth lies.
Well, I'm waiting on the evidence. If someone lays it in my lap and shows it to me and it's credible and a bunch of people, I mean, I'm not saying it's not possible.
Yeah.
But the evidence isn't there. It just isn't there. I can't think that until I get the evidence.
Carted away.
Well.
Yeah, but okay, God.
I'm not into that sort of thing, and I'll tell you why. About 30 years ago, I was talking to somebody else about this today. We're having this new thing brought up. I forget this movie maker that made this film about Kennedy a while back. You know, there's been all this crap going on about, there's still millions of people that think that Lyndon Johnson had Kennedy killed, or this person or that punny had. And here we have this new film showing up in the last few days, and already there's this big story about, oh, his jacket was bunched up, and now that means that there was a second shooter and all that stuff. Yeah, I watched an actual demonstration about 30 years ago of two riflemen that sit up in the school book depository in Texas and above Dealey Plaza there, and shooting President Kennedy was short work. These guys were good marksmen, but they showed that it was entirely possible. In fact, it was easy for them. And all these years we have, oh no, one guy couldn't do that. Well, I saw the actual demonstration where they showed that not one, but two riflemen sit up there with their scopes and everything and showed that it was so easy to do. And yet here we are, how many years later, saying, oh no, there had to be another guy. There couldn't, you know. Well, we've all got different ideas about it. That's just my opinion. I've got to be a judge in a courtroom and have the exact evidence in front of my face.
I think an investigation kicks up, you know, it looks into the questionable circumstances, and we did not have a real investigation, and there's enough doubt to deserve.
Well, do you believe that stuff about the deal that hit the Pentagon wasn't a plane but it was a missile?
No, I don't even go there.
See, those people are claiming that that's absolutely true too.
Well, that's their business. I'm talking about there's so many unanswered questions.
I know, but I mean, I can think of so many things here lately. That airliner off the coast of New York, people are swearing to God that it was a missile that brought that down. And people are swearing that the plane over Pennsylvania on 9/11 was shot down. None of it ever. none of it ever gets proven.
Well, what I'm saying is, you know, there's some things that, you know, like the World Trade Center Building 7 coming straight down. And, you know, there's a lot of questions that warrant a real investigation. And to include Dick Cheney's role that morning, you know, as the commander in the bunker, and there's discrepancies about what time he was witnessed in the bunker, you know, in the actual 9/11 testimony, I think there's enough unanswered questions to warrant a real investigation to include Dick Cheney's. I'm not saying I have proof of everything. I'm saying, you know, there's questions that warrant a real investigation. And what the heck was Dick Cheney doing that morning? You know, I didn't accuse him of anything or didn't say I have proof. I'm just saying there's enough, you know, enough questionable.
Well, we'll have to agree to disagree on that, because I don't. You've got your opinion. In my opinion, there's not the slightest bit of evidence for anything like that. I haven't seen even anything that would make me even think that such a thing happened. But you know, you have, and you're convinced, and I'm convinced the other way.
I'm convinced that there's enough that's unanswered.
Yeah.
That warrants an investigation. That's what I'm saying. There's enough questions that have not been answered with any evidence, you know, and Dick Cheney had a part that morning, and I think it should be looked at.
Well, you know? I blame the military that morning. I think they didn't do their job the way they should have done. I think everybody was caught with their pants down. And, you know, maybe that's just what I want to think, but I just haven't seen the evidence that I'm a hard one to, change my mind on things once I've made it up. And if something comes in front of me, if someone's got a picture or something else, well, then I'll believe it. And furthermore, I'll go ahead and mention the fact that I don't believe any of the stuff about the towers being bombed or anything like that either. I believe that they all came down as a result of that airplane, and for no other reason. I've seen no evidence whatsoever that leads to any other conclusion at all. It was the jackpot for Al-Qaeda and bin Laden, an absolute jackpot the way it turned out. But anyway, hey, thanks for calling, Phil.
Hey, you betcha.
Good to hear from you.
Okay, Guy.
Let's go back to line one here. Hi. Whoops. Maybe I hit the wrong button. Here we go. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Guy, this is Sarge. I just want to check in with you on that 9/11 thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's one question that I asked, and I would really love to hear a legitimate answer to it. I used to work around a large aircraft. I saw squadrons, flights scrambled. I've seen them scramble two, three different sets of planes within a matter of 3 minutes apart,
mm-hmm.
all over. And I'm going to tell you what, on 9/11, there was no plane scramble anywhere close to within a time period that is even legitimate. It's weird when I look at that, because I was sitting here that day watching it, and I said, where are the planes? They should have been in the air. You know, it never came
down.
Well,
they were in the air heading out over the Atlantic.
No, they were not. They were over the Atlantic. But you know what? Here's the problem. There are other fighters that are ready to deploy just as fast. So that excuse doesn't wash. It doesn't make sense, Guy. I'm telling you, as a person who's been there, who's done that, who's seen it.
So you think 9/11 was an inside job, too?
I don't know what it was, to be honest with you. What I'm saying is it's just a lot of question marks. And the first question I got is, what happened to these aircraft? I know, Guy, there's no way that all of that should have gone on in the air. Because I have been inside of it. I have been actually involved in scrambles. And I'm going to tell you right now, that doesn't make sense on that day. And they can give all the excuses they want about the planes were over, blah, 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 the Atlantic. You know, BS. That's crap. I'm going to tell you right now, as someone who's been there, who's done it, who's lived with it, it doesn't wash, Guy. It does not wash.
Well, then if it doesn't wash, Sarge, you have to be saying that you think it was an inside job.
I'm not saying it was or it wasn't. What I'm saying is it doesn't wash, because there's no way those planes weren't scrambled. There was a stand down.
You don't think they're just covering their asses?
Hey, there was no way those planes shouldn't have come. And this, and you know, they say, well, Cheney didn't order. Well, I'm on.
Cheney didn't have to order them. Cheney didn't order the planes off the ground, the first ones.
Right, he doesn't have to.
No.
Because I'm going to tell you what, here's how it works, and I've seen it on the inside. So I mean, you can disagree with me all you want to, but you'll be wrong, because I know what I'm talking.
No, I know how fast planes can get scrambled and all. I've seen that too,
because I've been there. I've done it. I've seen it.
But what I'm getting at, Sarge, if you think that those planes were intentionally not scrambled, then you're saying that it's an inside job.
Well, it could be. What I'm saying is there is a major discrepancy here that American people really need to know about. And now, the way a plane will alert, they have AWACS or they have the NORAD or whatever command it happens to be under, okay? When those, they have these big, humongous screens that you can see and watch. Okay, I was sitting in one in Germany, in Kinsbach Cave in Germany, and I was sitting there watching a Russian aircraft take off, and it was identified exactly that it was a Russian MiG. Okay, we watched that sucker fly into Finland, and a plane was scrambled before it ever got to the Finnish border to run it back off, and that was an American plane. Okay, so and it didn't take a minute to get that plane up in the air, and we had other planes sitting back waiting to scramble elsewhere at that time. So you know the story doesn't wash, man. I'm sorry, you know, and if you really knew the inside workings of all of that, which you know I can't tell you because it's classified stuff that I'm not allowed to mention, but I'm going to tell you the whole thing's a question mark.
Hmm. Okay.
I thought you might enjoy that.
Okay. Thanks, Sarge.
Thank you, guy. Bye-bye.
Well, I wouldn't have to tell anybody I don't agree. I think it was a massive screw-up, and that's just my opinion. Others have other opinions, but like I said in the very beginning, if I thought that were true, if I thought there were a chance of that, I couldn't live in this country anymore. Couldn't do it. Absolutely. I wouldn't do it. If I thought my government was capable of that, as low as an opinion I have of the Bush administration, and it's pretty low, as you know, can't go there on that. All the demolition stuff of the buildings and all that, I've been through all that inside and out. I've seen all the conspiracy theories about the Building 7 and all the buildings falling down, and just recently went over this deal with the recordings from the New York City Police Department where the conspiracy theorists are saying they told us it was going to that it was a bomb and it was going to come down. Not at all what it said. People took great liberties with those recordings and so forth. Those buildings fell down as a result of the towers falling on them, and that's that. I don't know why that's so hard to believe. God, I've heard people say that there was a missile that hit the second building, not even an airplane. I mean, I watch a lot of this stuff with, my opinion is on all the facts that have been presented by discerning news organizations, by people that I feel are credible. I have had no credible people whatsoever, none, zero, and I think you'll have to agree, there have been no credible people to come forth and say this was an inside job. None. I mean, you can talk about your Alex Joneses and your Al Martins and people like that all you want to. It's just... It's conjecture. That's what it is. And it's great fun for people to talk about and all that. But until someone comes up with headlines that hit the front page that they know this, they've got evidence of this, they've got firsthand knowledge of this, and I'm talking firsthand knowledge, then it remains nothing but talk. That's it. And if you think... Well, you either believe it was an inside job or you don't. I choose not to. And until the evidence is stuck in front of my face, I will continue to believe that. And I won't change my mind until I see any evidence in front of my face. How credible would I be if I came here and said, well, it was a put-up job and I couldn't prove it? I'm not going to say anything I can't prove. I will never say anything I can't prove. That's, you know, Sarge talked about the airplanes. Well, I don't question that the airplanes can be scrambled. That's fine. Doesn't prove that this was an inside job. Doesn't prove it at all. Proves to me that there was a massive screw-up. I've, you know, got to have proof. And when I don't see the proof in front of my face, that's it. The people in the chat room don't like what I'm saying. Hey, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and I never will be. I'm the kind of guy that if I go to court, I'm going to have the facts. Facts. You can't go to court on what you think might be true. You got to be able to prove your case beyond a reasonable doubt. And that's me. I'm not going to get into the conspiracy theory. You know, probably a lot of people listening to me right now still believe that Kennedy was killed by Johnson or killed by this and that and all that. And no, I don't think all the conspiracy theories from right-wing groups. I think they're from left-wing groups. And that's a problem I have. I think it robs credibility from the left when we get caught in far-out conspiracy theories. And some of them are far out. I can understand people questioning things. I can perfectly understand that. I can understand the apprehension, not one to believe this or that, but there's some pretty far-out conspiracy theories out there, and you all know what I'm talking about, and almost all of them are connected with the left, and that's a problem I have. That is a problem. And you can talk about facts all you want to. There is no facts unless there's proof. Absolute proof. Not hearsay. Not anecdotal information. None of that. Proof. I'm talking proof. To be able to go to court and prove it. And no one has done that. No one has come close to doing that. No one's said they were going to do it. And if they said they were going to do it, they obviously haven't done it because they can't do it. You know, you can say you have all the facts in the world, but if you can't go to court and prove it, your facts don't mean anything. My facts don't mean anything unless you can go prove it. And you can't prove a negative. I'm going to quit talking about it. I'm not going to convince anybody that's absolutely convinced that it was an inside job that it wasn't. I would just say I have more confidence in my fellow man than that. I know there's a lot of evil people in this world. I perfectly understand that. But I believe it robs the left of a great deal of credibility when we hang on to every conspiracy theory that comes down the road. And you know as well as I do, a lot of people do. Facts are what you can prove in court. That is what facts are. Facts are what a bunch of people can prove. Facts are something that can be laid out in the public and proven. That's what facts are. Not what you think, not what I think. It's what can be proven beyond a reasonable doubt to a preponderance of the people. That's what facts are. Facts most definitely aren't what I say they are. And I make people angry for saying that. I'm not going to get involved in that sort of stuff. I'm not going to give away my credibility. There's nothing I hate worse than a bunch of conspiracy theories. And I hate it. And I'm as much of a Democrat and a liberal as you could be. But that's got nothing to do with conspiracy theories. Nothing. Don't you think that if you believe the conspiracy theories, don't you think that some of our credible people on the left would get involved and hunt down the truth and find them? Some of our legislators, people you trust, people like, I know most of you trust Dennis Kucinich, because have you heard Dennis Kucinich say anything about this? A lot of you love John Kerry. Has John Kerry said anything about this? Has Edward said anything about it? Has any of the Democrats that you trust said anything about this? None. Find me a bunch of Democrats who are willing to put their credibility on the line, their reputation on the line, and follow up on any of these. Not going to happen. Simply not going to happen. Our country isn't perfect. They do a hell of a lot of things that are wrong. Got somebody that lives right here in the area where I live that is still hanging on to that bullshit that Franklin Roosevelt knew all about Pearl Harbor happening. Do any of you believe that? It's poppycock. Been proven to be so. But people in their 70s and 80s still believe that. Yeah. I don't know. I just think it robs us of our credibility. Most definitely. I don't know how I got sidetracked on this. I wanted to talk about Dick Cheney this hour. I shouldn't have got sucked into that conversation. I don't like conspiracy theories. I like proof. Don't know how else to say it. And I'm not going to apologize for my opinion. Until anybody can call me and give me facts that this was a fact and that it can be proven, then forget it. Once again, I ask you. A lot of you have Democrats you like. You think this is something that the right did? A lot of you have credible Democrats that you like. Have any of them come forth with this and ask that they want to prove it and all that? No, you haven't. Because the proof isn't there. And no one is going to come forward in front of the public and put all this out in the open and say, I believe this and I believe that when they can't prove it. It's not going to happen. Credible people do not do that. I don't ever come on this show and say something where I think it's just hearsay. I wouldn't do that. It'd make me look like a fool. That I think this happened and I think that happened. I'll offer an opinion once in a while. But you can't go out and prove negatives. You just can't. And I don't care how many commissions were promised, this, that, and the other thing. You know as well as I do that if serious people on the left thought that this thing was a put-up job and that there was a lot of evidence that showed that it was and all that, that they'd be doing it for political gain. Imagine what a political bonanza that would be. Imagine that. My God, what a political bombshell that would be if the Democrats could get on that one and prove that the Republicans were in on it. Can you imagine that? Think of it from that angle. Do you think for a minute that rabid left people that could jump on this thing and prove it against Bush and Cheney and all, you think they wouldn't do it? Do you think that wouldn't destroy the Republican Party forever? You think they wouldn't do that if they had a scintilla of evidence that they could do it? Come on. Be serious. Well, I thank you for listening. Been an interesting last half hour. My God. Anyway, thanks for listening to the program today. Glad to have all of you along with me here in the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network. You heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.